Have you ever heard the one about when Jesus went to the pool? The pool had a name, which is weird because in our culture we don't name swimming pools. This pool's name was Bethesda. And Bethesda means house of mercy, and it was this kind of weird pool. People told stories about it. It was near the temple. We're told that there was a sheep gate near it, so usually if you were swimming in that pool, you were going to be smelling all kinds of fun animals like goats and sheep and cattle and all kinds of things, and so they would be hurling along there, and it was this public pool that stood there, and it was known as a place where the cripples would hang out and where the blind people would go, and it was kind of like this really interesting conglomeration of very needy, desperate people that society really didn't seem to think they had a need of, and so they would just hang out in this pool. And one day, Jesus goes to that pool. He walks up to a man who's laying on a mat, and this man had been crippled for 38 years, and he asks him an interesting question. He says, "Do you want to be healed?" The man's like, "Yeah, but I don't have anybody to put me in the pool." He was hoping for a miracle. He was hoping if he could get in that pool, maybe he could be healed. And Jesus does something interesting. He commands him. He says, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And of course, the man does. He picks up his bed, and he starts walking around. And there's commotion because everybody knows everybody at this pool, right? And people aren't expecting this man who hasn't walked for 38 years, longer than I've been alive, to just get up and start walking. A crowd assembles, and Jesus is nowhere to be found. And this man, I guess, didn't know what else to do except go to the temple and praise God. So he goes to the temple, and people in the temple are seeing this guy carrying around this yoga mat, you know, and they're wondering, "What's going on here? What are you doing?" And they're like, "It's the Sabbath. Why are you carrying around your bed?" And he said, "A man healed me." He didn't know who it was. He didn't know his name. And then Jesus shows up at the temple, and he has a short conversation with him. So the man's like, "Oh, Jesus healed me." And then the guys are like, that's the dude that healed you?" He's like, "Yeah." And they begin to grumble against him and criticize Jesus. And Jesus did what anyone would do in the face of criticism. He made a nice little speech. And that speech is what our scripture is today. Now, I've got a lofty task ahead of me. I've got two things I want to do with this scripture. But I don't think it's going to be too hard because I firmly believe that if you understand them, it will make you infinitely happy and thankful. The first thing I'm going to show you in this passage is that Jesus is the judge of the universe. Okay? I'm going to show you, prove it to you. He's the judge of the universe. The second thing I'm going to show you is, it's going to be fun. I'm going to show you why that's a very, very good thing. Okay? Everybody ready? Excited? Two things to learn. If you get those, it's a good day in the office, right? Awesome. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here right now. We thank you that these are your words. We thank you that you are faithful, that you are good. We thank you that we don't have to be afraid of the truth of the gospel, the truth of who you are. We could be confident in you. Lord, show us wonderful Jesus today. We want to see Jesus today. May he come alive in these words. And may we be filled with the joy of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, we are in John chapter 5. We're going to be starting verse 19, going to verse 27. As I said, this is his speech. It's not his whole speech because we don't have enough time, right? But This is the large bulk of his speech, and we're starting, as I said, in verse 19, and the words should magically appear on screen. Ooh, thank you. Very awesome. Very good. Very good. John chapter 5, verse 19 through 27. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel." Verse 21. "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man." The heart of the criticism that these men had for him is they are essentially saying to Jesus, "What right do you have to do what you do?" They're highly offended. There's a guy carrying around a bed in the temple. Not a good situation, you know? It's not a place to do that. And they're upset, they're offended, and they're telling Jesus, what's going on? Why do you think you have the right to do this? And he begins by talking about how he has authority from God the Father himself. Now, the word authority means the right. If you have the authority to do something, that means you have the right, the authorization to do something. So he begins to say, I do only what the Father is doing. I'm doing exactly what he's showing me. I'm in his will. And then he makes an astounding statement in verse 22. He says, "The Father judges no one." The Father judges no one. Well, if the Father judges no one, who is the judge? And they're listening to this man. And he actually said, this man, flesh and bones man, they could touch him and give him a noogie, real man standing in front of him. He is saying, the Father judges no one. It's the Son that judges. The Father has given all judgment to the Son. It's very clear. Jesus is the judge of the universe. Later on, in verse 27, it takes it further because it says that he actually has the authority to put that judgment into practice, literally to execute that judgment. Not only is he the judge of the universe, but he applies the judgment. He has the authorization to make the judgment and then to make sure it happens. Okay, first point is really easy, isn't it? Jesus is the judge of the universe. Now, I want to just shortly confront a misunderstanding people have. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But some people like to characterize Heavenly Father in the Old Testament as a cranky, judgmental being. They say, God in the Old Testament, he's so judgmental. I mean, look at all this stuff that happens. And then they look at the New Testament and they say, Jesus is so nice. It's all mercy with Jesus.
Jesus wouldn't judge anybody. He has a lamb in the picture on my wall.
You know, it's not something he would do. It's Jesus' mercy. And he saves us from, in this view, he saves us from the anger of this judgmental God. But really, if you look at the Old Testament, God is such a God of mercy. There's so many references I could give you. Genesis 3, Genesis 19, Exodus 15, Exodus 34, Numbers 14. Literally, I mean, oh, Psalm 25. Oh, look it up. He's merciful. Psalm 103. Look up Jeremiah 33 if you just want a mid-morning Bible snack. Jeremiah 33. There's so much mercy all over the pages, because when you read the Old Testament, you're like, oh my goodness, I can't even wrap my mind around how merciful this God is. And there are times he had to judge. But how many of you would agree there's a place for judgment? Sometimes somebody's got to be judged. There was a man, I think a week ago, in New York. He was slain in broad daylight with a sword. In New York, he was collecting cans, and he was killed because the man who killed him said, I wanted to go to New York because I want to kill a black person. That's what the man said. He killed him with a sword. Is there a place for judgment? Right? There's a place for judgment. Judgment is not a bad word, okay? People love Judge Judy for judging, but they get mad at God if God judges. He shouldn't judge me. Season 20. Okay? All right. Everyone got point one? Doing okay? Convincing? Right? Jesus is the judge of the universe. If you have a coworker that says, who's the judge of the universe? Say, that's a weird question. A bearded man told me you'd ask that. It's Jesus. Okay. Now we're going to talk about why that's a good thing. Because even if I can convince you that Jesus is the judge of the universe, you still might be, I feel like that might taint Jesus. That might not be a good thing. Verse 22 gives us the reason why God gave all judgment to Jesus. It says, so that all may honor the Son. The first reason it's a very good thing that Jesus is the judge of the universe is because it honors him. We use the word worthy in so many of those songs, and that's such a powerful word. Jesus is so worthy. It means deserving. He's so worthy of our praise. And when he's judge of the universe, he gets massive honor. And that should make your heart go, oh my goodness, that's awesome. Because he's the one that died for me, right? So I have a personal connection with Jesus. I know him. I love him. He loves me. This is awesome. And we're all going to honor him. One day, every knee will bow. I'm so excited about that because, listen, Jesus is it to me. He's my treasure, and I love that all are going to honor him. Oh, love it. All may honor the Son. That's the first thing why it's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. The second reason it's a very good thing is in verse 30, he says an interesting line. He says, my judgment is just. The word just there means right or fair. So basically, let's summarize, okay? People are mad at him. Oh, you shouldn't be doing this. And then Jesus is like, actually, I'm doing Heavenly Father's marching orders. And by the way, I'm the judge of the universe. And by the way, I'm really good at it. See, because Jesus is at 100%. It's really cool because the one who's in charge of everything, the judge of the universe, never gets it wrong. If you're still waiting for God to make one mistake, then you're just going to wait for all eternity. He's never made a mistake. He's literally the only perfect judge. Oh my goodness, that's so cool, because we know bad judges, don't we? There's a reputation in human history. They could be bought off, they could be bribed, or they could be judges that look down on certain classes of people or take advantage of people so that they can get more power, get more prestige. And here's a judge that always does everything perfect. I mean, this is the ultimate awesome thing. It brings him honor, and he's great at it. Oh, I love it. I love it because, guys, how scary is it when the person who's in charge is either incompetent or is evil? It's helpless. It's helpless. There's nothing you can do. If there's a workplace environment, the person at the top is a disaster, oh my goodness, you're like, oh, the best thing you could do is pray for them and hope for the end of the age, right? There's nothing else you can do. When the person at the top is perfect, ooh, hi God. When the person at the top is perfect, guys, it's biscuits and gravy. It's biscuits and gravy. And Jesus does something that no other judge does. He's perfect. He always does the right thing. And he looks at all these, no offense, I'm a human being too, so don't take offense at this. He looks at all these mangly, sinful creatures called mankind. And he says, you know what? As judge of the universe, I'm actually going to die for you guys. And not just die. I'm going to suffer one of the most brutal deaths ever recorded in human history. So bad that when people see me on the cross, they could not even recognize me by looking at me in the face. What judge takes the punishment for the guilty party? What judge would ever do that? A year and a half ago, I got a traffic ticket. I know, thank you. I wanted some person to judge me a little bit. You can judge, thank you. Love you. Go Tar Heels. Did they win last night? Okay. It's the only reason somebody would wear that color. No offense, baby blue. All right. Anyway, got a traffic ticket, okay? And I was a little scared because I don't know how to do this stuff. But I hit a guy, and the policeman thought I shouldn't have. And so he wrote a ticket, and it was a Friday morning in December. And so, you know, I was in line. I was really scared, and I knew I was scared because, like, when I was going through the, you know, little mirror where they make sure you don't have metal objects, I was, like, missing everything and boop, boop, boop. And so I had a pretty good place in line, and I lost this pretty good place. And I was standing in the hallway, and it's just a massive amount of people. And you don't have to raise your hand. I'll be able to tell from your eyeballs. But you know what I'm about to describe if you've gotten a ticket in New Hanover County. Okay, a traffic ticket. You know what I'm about to describe. And it's all good. I won't tell anybody. It's all good. I've been there, okay? So I was in line, and they separate you by last name. And I was kind of mad because, like, they did the later last names first. And I was like, listen, I've been to graduations. This is not the way it goes. And then they were like, okay, come here, Barth. And so we went ahead, and we filed in. And it's this huge room. It's this huge room, and they have pews. They have pews on the left side and pews on the right side, and it was loaded with people. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so I sit down, I'm next to this interesting lady, and so I figured, you know, I'll talk to her and stuff. And so I was like, hey, it's really busy in here. And she's like, this is nothing. And I was like, okay, you're a little scary. I'm gonna have to sit next to you for an hour. This is interesting. She's like, I come here all the time, and it's this way all the time. And I just thought, oh my goodness, I should not ever drive in New Hanover County because this is a disaster. I mean, literally, massive amounts of drivers are just breaking the rules. People aren't good at what we do. So I was like, okay. So we're going along, and we're scooting, and it's funny. I was looking over there, and I saw somebody I recognized. I saw a dude I recognized, not a reach person, so you only have to judge one person right now. Not a reach person, but I saw them, and I looked over at that guy, and I was like, yeah, it's not surprising. I was actually glad that he was in there, because I don't think he's a good driver. So I was like, you belong here. Like, me, it was just an honest mistake. I just rear-ended somebody. But him, like, he's just chronic, hopeless. Hopeless, he needs to go back to class. But imagine Imagine if a judge entered that building, and let's be honest, I mean, I'm innocent. No, nobody's putting on an act. I'm not going to go up there and say, I didn't hit a guy. You know what I mean? You know, people can't go up to parking tickets and just be like, oh, the policeman's blind. You know what I mean? We're all guilty as crud, so we're all sitting there. And imagine if a judge came in the room and literally brought out a big, fat checkbook and said, listen, guys, don't know how to say this except I love you, especially that weird lady that's sitting next to the bearded guy. I love you, and I want to tell you I'm going to go ahead and pay for your tickets because somebody's got to pay. That dude rear-ended. Somebody's got to pay for this, and I'm going to do it. Now, if you choose, you can pay for your own ticket. You don't have to come up to me, and I don't have to write the check. But you need to understand that you're guilty. Somebody's got to pay that price. And I'm willing to do it right now. Imagine how weird that would be. I mean, don't look into it too far because then it's like, oh, that judge is letting all these terrible drivers just go out scot-free. But imagine how crazy that would be. And if he said, go ye unto the hallway and tell them from the corners the good news that I'm paying the price, right? and they would go out and, you know, and say, hey, guys in the hallway, like, oh my goodness, you're guilty and you gotta pay. Except the judge, for some reason, he's paying the price for you driving like an idiot. Good news. Good news. Judges can't normally do that, but what's great is Jesus is the perfect judge. And you can try to wrap your mind for all eternity around why he would die for you and why that's the perfect thing. But I'll just tell you, I am so glad that that was the perfect thing to do. I'm so glad that Jesus is the judge. It's a very good thing. You see, we have a judge that 2,000 years ago went to a smelly, loud, nasty swimming pool, walked up to a man who'd been crippled for 38 years, who knows how long this man cried out to God for help, who knows how long he was in this pathetic position. And all he wanted was just to get inside the pool, which I can't imagine. Oh, can you imagine the flies and everything? Oh, so nasty. All I want to do is just get slid into that pool and maybe I'll get healed. And Jesus comes up to him. Literally, the judge of the universe goes to the house of mercy. Remember, Bethesda, house of mercy. And he delivers this man and he says, get up, walk, boom, it's done. And this man, who society had no care about, suddenly has his needs infinitely met by the judge of the universe. There is no other judge like him. There's no judge like him. He thought of you, you know. Let's talk real for a second. He thought of you, and he despised not the shame, but faced the cross because he knew your sins have to be paid for. The weird thing about a just judge is he can never overlook things. God can't just say, hey, I'm going to just pretend you never killed that person. God can't do that. He can't let people get off scot-free. And he says, you know what? I'm coming down and I'm paying the price, and every person I pay for is precious in my sight. And I'm going to send out my people that I call by my name to go out and tell everyone the judge of the universe is amazing and the judge of the universe came to set you free. The judge doesn't want to judge you. So that's weird. Yeah, it is weird. He loves you. And there's a window of mercy right now. There's something called the final judgment. Say, Daniel, you're going to get real heavy here. Sure, because I love you. Let's get a little heavy. I love heavy whipping cream. Let's get it heavy. That's the only way to make eggnog. You got to put the heavy whipping cream. It makes it so good. A weird lady named Dannon, literally that's her name, she gave me an eggnog recipe. I love it. It's great. Okay, heavy whipping cream. It's good to get heavy. Let's get heavy real quick. But there's a final judgment, and Jesus wants his message to get to everybody because he says, listen, I paid for it. Listen, guys, I bought you with a price, and you were so worth it. I love you. I know the color of your eyes, and I know everything about you. I know how many hairs are on the top of your head or aren't on the top of your head. I know everything about you. I know all your darkest secrets, and you are infinitely precious to me. And maybe, maybe if you've never made that decision, today could be a day when you would say, you know what? I'm done trying to pay my own way, fight my own way, go my own way, when the judge of the universe so loved me that he sets the guilty free with his own payment of blood. Jesus is the judge of the universe, and that's a very, very good thing. The hymnist Charles Wesley wrote some of my favorite words when he became a believer in Jesus Christ. He saw the value of Jesus, and he understood that Jesus died for his sins. And he said, oh my goodness, he was overwhelmed. He wrote a song. And he wrote these words. He said, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's might. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, I went forth, and I followed thee. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? If I could have the worship team come forward. One of the best things that we can do in response to the truth of who Jesus is, I kept my word. Here you go. Yeah, it's a good stand. One of the best things that we can do is to acknowledge and to celebrate in our heart the truth of who Jesus is. So I want us, just as the music is playing, I want us to thank Jesus for being the judge of the universe and being the greatest judge ever. I want us just to honor him and worship him and just say, Jesus, you are so amazing. You are so amazing. You are the greatest judge ever. See, so many people, they make this a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a glorious thing. It's the thing about Jesus that sets you free. So let's just, in our own hearts, just thank him in your own way. Say, thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the truth that you are our judge, but your judgment is just. I'm not like all the other judges. I'm a different kind of judge. I take the punishment for you, and I give you my spirit to empower you and to help you so that you can live that fulfilling life you've been longing for. And if you're sitting here today and you're saying, honestly, I've never taken that step. Like I've never embraced Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior before. Listen, I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird, but what I want to ask you to do is talk to somebody after service. We're going to have prayer people come forward. You can find me at the end of service. Just talk. I'm not going to pressure you. We're not going to force you to say a prayer. No, none of that. But let's dialogue, because this is an invitation from a loving God who says, you know what? I really want you to come here, and I want you to be my child. And I paid a price because you're really awesome, and I know everything about you, and I really want you to be a part of my family. I really want to bring you into the fold. And so if you've not taken that step, then please find somebody afterwards. And nobody's going to think you're weird, because, you know, people talk to people after service. So there's no judgment at all. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, may this word remain in us, and may it impact us, and may our understanding of you, Jesus, be uplifting and honoring. In Jesus' name, amen.